I would like to especially take the blessings of His Grace Vrindavan Prabhu, who is my Shiksha Guru. In my early days in Chapati and in Pune, Prabhuji was one of my greatest sources of inspiration. I used to travel with Him in His preaching programs and on the way ask Him several questions, and He is very famous for giving very fitting answers with amazing examples. Many of those examples I used in my books, those four books. Most of those examples I have heard from Vrindavan Prabhu. And he is very expert in explaining the philosophy in a very relishable and understandable way. I feel so insignificant in front of him to speak here today. But you all will get to hear the Sunday feast from him today afternoon. Jinko Hindi mein anuvad chahiye, aapko conference room mein Hindi mein anuvad chal raha hai, udhar chale jaiye. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself. So Prabhupada gives us a clue in the purport. The satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. So in the series of few verses here, there is a talk going on about the dissatisfaction of Vyasadeva. Dissatisfaction is not uncommon in the material world. It's most easily available commodity everywhere in the material world. People becoming dissatisfied or frustrated. And the reason is given in the scriptures why one feels such frustration or dissatisfaction in life. When one is satisfied, then one is cheerful, one is happy, one has achieved the ultimate conclusion of life. And that satisfaction is not the temporary satisfaction that comes for a flickering moment of time. The satisfaction that Prabhupada speaks here, which is synonymous with perfection, that is actually attained at the end of one's sojourn in this material life, before one returns back to Godhead, then one becomes a Jivan Mukta. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apah pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve shanti mapnoti na kama kami. There it is said, achala pratishtam. One is unwavering or fixed. Gurunapi vichalyate. In 6th chapter Krishna says, also, even when one is faced with great dangers in life or adversities or calamities, one does not waver from his spiritual path. So that kind of fixation comes in one's life when sashanti mapanoti, he achieves that such peace and satisfaction when one becomes a sitha prajna. Vihaya kaman yasarvan pumam charati nispraha. He becomes practically free from all material desires. Kama kami, he says, one who is a kami can never achieve peace, satisfaction. Only a person who has conquered kama or desires, he only can achieve satisfaction, peace. Vihaya kama, viha means to give up. Vihaya kaman yasarvan puman charati nispraha. A person can wander in this world like a guileless child, exactly like the 11th canto Avadhut Brahman was wandering in the forest like a child, innocent. When Yadu saw Avadhut Brahman, he asked him, how is it that you don't seem to be wearing any costly clothes, you don't seem to be having gold or silver, you don't seem to be having any land or property, and you don't seem to be having anyone to protect you. And you are wanting in the middle of the forest, but you seem to be the most happiest person in the whole world. How is it with nothing you are happy, and with everything people are not happy in this world? After possessing everything in the world, people are not happy, and you possess nothing, and you seem to be the happiest man. What is the secret of your happiness? So, of course, Yadu in return explains about how he became a happy person by illustrating those 24 gurus. So, The whole world is hankering for satisfaction and peace. But one cannot achieve satisfaction or peace by repeatedly manipulating matter or material situations by one's own puny intelligence. There are two ways to manipulate matter, or there are two ways to manipulate the material world. One is a shastric way, one is a materialistic way. Materialistic way is adopted by the modern man, where he is, in the name of advancing in technology, he is manipulating matter and achieving comforts and facilities, hoping against hope that someday he will become satisfied. Like all the electronic gadgets that we enjoy in the modern times are a result of modern man manipulating matter. And such manipulation matter produces so many facilities, but those facilities don't give us satisfaction because they are not product of yajna. Most of those are result of going against nature. Like for example, when man devised a car to move from place to place, then he said we should make the car a little more comfortable. Then he had a very comfortable cushioned seat. Then he said, this is not enough, it's better to have a stereo in the car, we can hear music while traveling. Then he arranged for a stereo which could be fitted in the car. Then he said, it will be nice if we can have air condition in the car so we don't feel the heat of the summer or whatever. Now they say, air condition, although modern man feels I have conquered nature by having air condition, if there is 40 degrees Celsius outside, I can have air condition in which will offer me 10 or 15 degrees Celsius, so I can feel comfortable. But doctors have found out that those who are in air condition for a prolonged period of time, beyond a certain hours, they get some lung disease problem. So you cannot circumvent the problems of life by taking yourself from uncomfortable position to a comfortable position by your own personal endeavor, which modern man is trying to do through technology. In fact, with all his electronic gadgets and facilities and comforts, modern man is exactly like a fish out of water, who is shivering without water. You gave him all kinds of facilities. And the proof is, the economic giants like Japan or America, which are in the pinnacle of material progress, they are facing the most disastrous disease of mental related illness, like stress and depression and such diseases, which are actually a result of manipulating matter to enjoy and making such a one-sided attempt without God, without God or the scriptures or the good instructions. So, the physical comforts satisfy the body but not the mind. Isn't it? Because satisfaction of body alone, simply pampering the body alone is like, you know, giving the fish all the facilities. If the soul is not satisfied, what is the use? Mind is not satisfied. So this is the material way, materialistic way. The shastric way is given in the Vedic scriptures, which is explained in many places. Yamimam pushpitam vacham prabadante avipaschitaha vedavadarata partha nanidastiti vadinaha kamatmana swargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. Krishna says that in the second chapter. He says, in the Vedas, there is a great flowery promise given to the Vedic followers, that if you follow these instructions of the Vedas, you can achieve so many material benefits. Like for example, when I was a young boy, we used to recite these prayers, Dushvapna Nashanam. There are mantras for that. So you have to recite that mantra 2000 times. Similarly, if one wants to become free from lamentation, there is a mantra. You know what is the mantra? We used to recite 3000 times. There is one mantra which is well-known mantra to all of you. Which is, in those days I never knew that this is the mantra that we have to recite. The mantra is, Ashochyanan vashochastvam prajna vadascha bhashase kathasuna gatasuscha nana shochanti panditaha. We used to recite it 2000, 3000 times to become free from lamentation. So why? Many times this kind of approach you find in the Karmakanda section of people, where people are taught to perform certain type of yajna, dana and tapa. Yajna means sacrifice and dana means charity. And tapa means voluntarily accepted suffering for purification or something. So, these things are performed by the Vedic followers, but with the motive of achieving something material, not spiritual. Like it need not necessarily be going to heaven. It can be something even within this world. Like people, you see in India, many mothers, they keep breath on Friday, on Tuesday. And if you ask them why you are keeping breath, they will tell you that, you know, I am keeping it for 6 months. So that, you know, I can achieve something. There is some material benefit behind it. So the Vedic mantras are called as the flowery words of the Vedas. Why? Why they are flowery? Because they are very captivating to the minds of those whose minds are filled with fruity mentality. Fruity mentality means, I will do something if it can benefit me. What is in it for me? That is fruity mentality. So why the Vedas are offering something material? Why can't they offer something directly spiritual? So the Vedas have a portion which is not transcendental and another portion which is transcendental, beyond the three modes. Both are present in the Vedas. Why? Because people in general are addicted to material enjoyment in the material world. And if the Vedas say that we only can offer you something spiritual, then everyone would prefer to be an atheist. So in order to cater to the needs of those people who are material minded, those hearts are addicted to material enjoyment, the Vedas also offer one section, most of the section of the Vedas, 99% of the Vedas, lakhs of verses, they talk about how you can achieve something enjoyable. You can achieve abundant lands. In those Vedic times, you could say, you know, you could achieve vast lands, or you could be a jamindar, or you could achieve bountiful harvest, or you might get gold and silver, become a dhanavan. So these are traditional Vedic times. In modern times, the flowery Pragosh Prabhu was once telling in one of his classes. He said, if you want to know what is the flowery words, you can see the advertisement and billboards of Kali Yuga, which promise you so many flowery things. If you buy this soap, you'll become happy. We don't know what connection soap has got to happiness. But they advertise flowery words. If you do this, you'll get that. So, people perform those rituals and rites and yajnas, yagas, and they do all that, by which they achieve those material benefits, by worshipping different demigods. They achieve different benefits by worshipping different devatas. But Krishna uses the word avipaschitaha. Why the word avipaschit is used? Unintelligent. After all, they are following the Vedas. How can a Vedic follower be called as unintelligent? Because Krishna says like that, Krishna calls them unintelligent because they are attracted to the material enjoyment promised in the Vedas. The real purpose of Vedas is to know Krishna. Veda is to survive, ahameva vedyo, Krishna says. But that is the end conclusion of the Vedas. But in the beginning, a preliminary follower of Vedas, he is more attracted to the flowery promises made in the Vedas. So the Vedic chant is very relishable to the ear, especially for a fruitive actor, one who wants to enjoy some fruits. And such recitation of the Vedas with the motive of achieving something material will eventually frustrate a person. It will not satisfy a person. Of course, a Vedic follower who gets material enjoyment through Vedas is by far superior to one who tries to get material enjoyment by his own personal endeavor, discarding God and the scriptures aside. Because if one is a sense gratifier and follows the Vedas for getting sense gratification, he is far superior than one who is a renunciate who doesn't believe in Vedas. Because one who believes in the Vedas is surrendering to the authority of God, although he wants sense gratification. So he is greatly appreciated. But from the point of view of transcendental portion of the Vedas, the flowery words of the Vedas promising material enjoyment is contempt from that point of view. Just like sometimes you find in ISKCON people who come, they get very angry that you people condemn demigods. Actually, we don't condemn demigod worship at all. We are not enemies of demigods. Because all the devatas are Krishna's devotees. Why should we be enemies to them? If somebody offends the demigods, then they will also suffer. But when you see from atheistic point of view, a demigod worshipper is far superior. And if you see from pure devotion service point of view, if somebody is stuck up in demigod worship, is called as a Tadbhavati Alpa Medasam. It's called like that by Krishna himself. It's called as Alpa Medas. See, on one hand, Krishna calls us Alpa Medas. On the other hand, Krishna himself is recommending in the third chapter, 10, 11, 12 verses, you will find Devan Bhavetanena Te Deva Bhavayantu Parasparam Bhavayanta Shreya Paramavasita. He says, worship demigods, is saying in one place. Another place, he says, those who worship demigods is Alpa Medasam, he says. So we have to know, understand the things from the context. We should not pull them out of the context and misconstrue the meaning of what it actually means. So, the Vedas, the mundane portion of the Vedas, those words are explained within Srimad Bhagavatam as bewildering and misleading. In the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that, he says, that's a famous verse which says, Yadate moha karilam ganta vyatitarishyati. When one goes through this dark portion of sense gratification promised in the Vedas and then one comes to the light, which he means the transcendental portion of the Vedas. Until one comes to that light, till then it is simply considered darkness because one is stuck up in the material world. And all that is material sound vibration. It is simply the promises given in the Vedas, they entangle a living being to become stuck up in the material world, repeatedly wandering in the cycle of birth and death. And that is why the satisfaction can never be achieved. What has become modern man? Modern man doesn't even refer to the mundane portion of the Vedas. He wants to enjoy without the Vedas, you can understand. Yas Shastra Vidimutstajya Vartate Kama Karta Nasasiddhi Mavapanoti Nasukham Paramkatim. He is never going to achieve happiness here or in the next life because he is giving up the Shastra Vidhi. Those who give up Shastra Vidhi are destined to hell. Like one disciple of Prabhupada was taking the role of a scientist, was speaking to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we have done so many so many great industries you have erected and so many thousands of workers are working there. And Prabhupada said, so what is the use of that? What is the use of all your big industries? And then disciple was saying, Prabhupada, we have bravely constructed such huge industries, investing crores of rupees, bringing huge machines and employing thousands and millions of people in our companies. And Prabhupada saying, yes, we are bravely going to hell. Prabhupada saying, and then the topic of that article became bravely going to hell. So, modern man may be very proud of his accomplishments, but he is simply bravely going to hell by breaking the Shastra Vidhi. But even those who follow the Shastras, they are called as pious materialists by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Use the word pious materialist. A pious materialist appears to be a very religious person. He has all the religious symbols in his body and he seems to be worshipping God, bowing down and doing all the rituals and rites, but his end goal is material enjoyment. He doesn't want to go back to Godhead. Just like that story you hear, you know, Narada Muni called a man, would you like to come with me to Vaikuntha? He said, oh really? You want me to take to another better place? I would like to come. But when will I return back to my wife and children, home? Narada Muni said, Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha means Jagatva Nanivartante. If you go there, you can't come back. You remain there forever. Then he said, then I am not coming, he said. So, similarly, people always think, anything you tell them, the first question they ask is, okay, how will it benefit me, my mother, my father, my wife, my children, my husband, our family, how will it benefit all of us? People think in terms of that only. If you tell them, what about, this product, how will it benefit me? They will ask. Similarly, what about God? Okay, I don't mind accepting God as long as he becomes a good order supplier for me. And you put any God in front of me, we don't mind. You put Sai Baba, or you put some kind of so many modern self-made gurus. If you want me to call them as God, we don't mind, as long as they can supply what I want. Or you put Krishna, Rama, Vishnu or Durga, any God you tell, I will worship as long as they can supply what I want. This is the modern man, you can see that. This is fruity mentality. That is practically no worship of God at all. God is not our order supplier. In fact, we are supposed to worship him. Like Prabhupada says in one place, one man is asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, if God is there, why there is so much of problems in the world? Why is God not setting right? Prabhupada is saying, God is not your order supplier. That he has to come and set right your problem. You have created the mess and why should God set it right? Then Prabhupada was giving example. He said, when there was a war, the German women were praying to God that let our son or husband or father, let them not die in the war. But then the men went to war and they died. So all the women became atheists. So Prabhupada is saying, when they declared the war, they never consulted God. But then, when the war took place and the people died, then they say, you know, God is very cruel. So they reject God and become atheists. Similarly, Prabhupada says, when people do sinful activities, they don't consult God. They do whenever, whatever they want to do, sinful activities they do. But when the reactions come, they shout at God, why are you giving me these reactions? I'm suffering. So God is not your order supplier, that you do whatever you want to do, and then when problems come, he will come as your servant to, you know, remove your problems. That is not God. God is not there for that. So, people generally think God is their order supplier. I will do this and God should serve me in this way. So, most of the mundane portion of the Vedas are like that. Simply wanting to fulfill one's senses. That is why, eventually one will become dissatisfied. Initially one does some yajna and one gets some material benefits and everything. If you compare these three things which we are talking about, achieving material enjoyment without reference to scriptures, it is frustration at the beginning, frustration at the end. You will see that. One is continuously frustrated. In the name of economic development, modern man is simply burning out himself. Eating fast food, traveling in high speed vehicles, causing terrible accidents. In the name of achieving money, the money doesn't bring about satisfaction because it is not a product of sacrifice. That is the life of a modern man. He has a lot of money, but he has no happiness. You can see that. But the Vedas certainly are a product of yajna, so they give some satisfaction, undoubtedly. Even when one seeks material enjoyment in the Vedas, one will get some satisfaction, but that is not an everlasting satisfaction. That satisfaction also is short-lived. Because one has a material outlook and one wants material enjoyment, one will get some happiness for some time. But after some time one will be frustrated, again wanting more and more. There's a strong craving in the heart of living entities for more and more happiness, more and more enjoyment. That strong craving, which can be compared to a flagrant fire, imagine huge fire growing, and you put petrol in that, it will only grow bigger, isn't it? I cannot be satisfied by anything material in this world. One needs something beyond matter. Prabhupada says, this satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter, he says. Chitraketu Maharaj was very dissatisfied at heart when Angiramani met him, when Angiramani came to his court. In fact, he said, my dear great sage, if a man is very hungry and thirsty, how can he be satisfied with a beautiful garland? It's not possible, isn't it? Once my friend Gaurang Prabhu was telling, in Bombay, they had this Nirjal Ekadashi, Pandava Nirjal Ekadashi. So they fasted for the whole day. And next day morning, people were all so thirsty because all day they fasted. Today is also Ekadashi. Some people fast from water also. So Pandava Nirjal Ekadashi, people fast from water. And some people are not used to it. And next day morning their throats ran so dry. So he had gone to some temple and then he had fasted the whole day, Ekadashi day. Next day morning, when he was sitting, one young devotee came, one new of a devotee. morning he came and offered obeisances to Prabhuji. And Prabhuji said, okay, okay, it's enough of your obeisances, go and get water. Is there any prasadam? Quickly get some prasad, he said. Then he said, wait a minute, Prabhuji. Then he went and got a mahagarland for him. He put mahagarland. He said, okay, okay, that's thank you very much, you know, but what about water? Where are you going to get water? He said, then the devotee went, I'm just coming, Prabhuji, you know, first I have to offer my respects to you, you know, then I'll give you prasadam and everything. Then he got chandan and he was offering chandan. Then Gaurangu caught him and shook him and said, when are you going to give me water? He shouted at him. So, you see, when you are thirsty for water, no matter all these things are given to you, they don't satisfy you. Similarly, Chitrakita Maharaj said, you know, for a hungry man, what is the use of a very beautiful garland? After you are completely satisfied of your hunger, then if somebody gives garland, you may pay attention to it. So he said, my dissatisfaction of heart is like that, exactly like that. I am very, very dissatisfied. And Ankita Muni knew, this person is not destined to have a son, but is hankering for a son. See, this is the problem with material desire. Material desire means to desire that one should not desire. That is material desire. To harbor those desires in the heart which should not be desired. Ravana had such a desire. He harbored a desire to have another man's wife which should not be desired. That which should not be desired. Unfortunately, all the living entities' hearts are filled with material contamination. One such material contamination is to desire those things which we should not desire. There are so many things which are abundantly available. Like sometimes you see a brahmachari, frustrated brahmachari, sometimes. Everything is there. Nice prasad is available, delicious prasad. Nice shastras are available to read and, you know, contemplate and relish. And devotees are so loving and so kind and caring. The lordships, Radha, Shishi, Radha, Kunjibihari, very beautifully smiling always, offering their wonderful darshan. You go for the holy yatras. So everything is there. Prasadam, everything, there is nothing that is not available. But a person's mind is hooked to sense enjoyment, that which should not be desired. One's heart is yes. That is the greatest shop or curse. So, if we know that I should not desire something, what should we do? As soon as that desire comes in our heart, one should painstakingly remove it. One should go to the association of devotees and beg for the association to remove the contamination. I am not able to remove it. It's like an ink in the shirt sometimes. You know, ordinary dirt can be removed, but ink cannot be removed by our personal effort. You need some kerosene or petrol to remove it. So the kerosene or petrol is the association of a powerful Vaishnava who can, you know, remove that. So, Chitraketu also had this mental contamination of having a strong desire to wanting to have a son, although he was not destined. So his heart was hankering. So Ankitamuni gave him a son, but then told him, the same suffering that you are supposed to suffer without having a son, you have to suffer by having a son, but it will come in another way. See, the karma can never be escaped. If you escape karma and give a slap to the karma, karma will go and come from this side. You will see that. Americans thought that, you know, we have made so many inventions, now we can enjoy life. All the physical sufferings are gone, and they went into the mind now, mental stress now. You can see that. Because you can't circumvent sufferings. It has come in some other way. Just like energy, we say, no? Energy disappears in one form and reappears in another form without any loss or gain. It has to come. Such karmic reactions cannot be burnt away without superior spiritual engagement. So, Chitraketu was very, very dissatisfied in this way, and then when he got a son, he was very happy, very elated and everything. But eventually, as I told you, he was again led to dissatisfaction when the son died. But then one wonderful thing happened. The son's death brought about a great radical transformation in the heart of Chitraketu when the son got up and started speaking a transcendental message about the knowledge of soul, God and the relationship. And that arrangement was made by Narada Muni. And when that happened, what was the result of that? He surrendered to Narada Muni and took Diksha from him. Mantra Diksha he took from him. And by chanting the Lord's names, Chitraketu became so satisfied. He became so satisfied. Later you find, when he was going in the Akash Mahal, he was cursed by Parvati. Because he laughed at Shiva for giving a class on Vairagya by having his wife on his lap. He was giving class to a group of sages. Seeing that, Chittagata laughed. Just as two very senior Vaishnavas may reciprocate with one another, joking at one another, similarly Shiva and Chittagata had a joking reciprocation with one another. Because Chittagata was going in a plane with beautiful Vidyadhara women. But all of them were loudly singing and chanting the holy names. That time he had completely lost taste for material enjoyment. The spiritual taste that he got in chanting the holy name was so great that even while being surrounded by beautiful women, he did not become attracted to their bodily features at all. At the same time, Lord Shiva was sitting with Parvati, speaking a very great transcendental message on Vairagya. So, nor was Shiva attracted to Parvati in that way, in any like material attraction. So, both are great Vaishnavas, Chitraketu and both are great Grihastha Vaishnavas. So now they both are joking at one another. He is telling Shiva that you are having Parvati by your side and you are giving a class on Vairagya. He is joking like that. And Prabhupada says, and Shiva might have joked. This is Prabhupada's beautiful vision of the conversation that Shiva might have said. Prabhupada writes that Shiva might have joked that you are also surrounded by so many beautiful Vidyadhara women, although you are chanting the holy name. But then when Parvati heard that, she became furious. She said, how can somebody insult my husband? Sometimes the husband doesn't take any insult, the wife takes more insult. How can somebody insult my husband? Like recently I was telling one of our devotees, in our temple, all the brahmacharis were, wearing dirty, dirty kurta, dirty dhoti. Some of the boys are, drawing like 25,000-30,000 rupees, But they are Gauranga Sabha boys. Gauranga Sabha, they are going to become brahmacharis. But they are wearing dirty kurta, dirty dhoti. One day morning, I became very angry. In Mangala at the time, what I did, I called all the people, all the boys and brahmacharis and told, all the dirty clothes wearers, you come to one side. And all those who are wearing like lightning, pure clothes, and you come to the other side. And I told them, then all those wearing dirty clothes will give one cookie to those who are wearing good dress. Bright dress. So we did that kind of drama one morning. So they all gave, and now we are seeing most of them are wearing nice. Almost 90% of them are wearing nice dress now. So I was telling this to one of our IYF Grihastha boys who has become Grihastha. So I was saying that they were wearing very nice dress. I said, how you are wearing such a nice bright dress? He said, your wives will not allow us to wear dresses like your brahmacharis. he was telling. They cannot tolerate seeing us wearing dress like beggars. So this goes to show that the wife is more attentive about the husband than the husband himself. He said, earlier when we were in IYF, we were wearing dirty dress. Now we cannot wear like that. He was telling. Similarly, Parvati became very furious. How can somebody insult my husband? She became very furious. And she cursed Chitraketu. He told him that you become a demon. So he became Dhritarasura later. But then when she cursed Chitraketu to become a demon, as soon as Chitraketu heard it, he came down from his plane. So Prabhupada says the plane must have been gliding quite close to the ground level because he could hear what she said. So he came down and offered obeisances to Parvati and said, oh my dear mother, whatever curse you gave me, I accept it. Actually, I never intended any offense towards your husband. I was just, it was a kind of amusement for me. But I never intended any offense towards Shiva. Shiva is a very great Vaishnava. But if you think I have committed an offense, I'm very sorry for that. Please do not take that offense. But still I am ready to accept your curse. I have no problem. When he said this, Lord Shiva became so pleased. So Lord Shiva told Parvati, Prabhupada writes there, that as soon as Parvati saw the great ideal Vaishnava behavior of Chitraketu, she felt so shy and so uneasy. She felt a feeling of guilt that I have committed a blunder by cursing Chitraketu in this way. So she covered her head with the end of her sari and she bowed. So at that time Lord Shiva says, oh my dear Parvati, you may be very beautiful, but you cannot be as beautiful as a Vaishnava. Because Vaishnavas are the most beautiful, he says. Beautiful for what? beautiful for their Vaishnava qualities. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bibhyati swargapavarga narakeshu apitulya artadarshanah. The great devotees of the Supreme Lord, they are never fearful in any situation. You put them in Naraka, they don't lament. You put them in Swarga, they don't jump like a monkey, they don't become elated. In all the situations, they are always peaceful. They are always satisfied. And they never fear or they never lament in such situations. Why? Because they are surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Because Chitraketu got the mantra diksha from Narada, and he chanted the names, he became a pure devotee. And in the stage of a pure devotee, he had no lamentation. He was always satisfied. A pure devotee is always satisfied in all situations. So, here we are finding an example in Chitraketu's life of how only the knowledge beyond matter, the spiritual wisdom has satisfied him. Like that. That is why the message of the scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita or in Bhagavad Gita, each chapter you will see systematically Krishna keeps on telling Arjuna that first he says, this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Then Arjuna might ask the question, okay, Martiloka is so bad, Krishna, what about the Brahma Loka? Maybe I can go to Brahma Loka or higher Lokas. Then Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuna Loka Punaravartan Arjuna. Don't go there, Arjuna. If you go there again, you will come back to this material world. Then Arjuna may want to know, is there any other place in this material world, Krishna, where I can be a little peaceful? Then Krishna says, how? He says, Pagratin Swambhashtabhya, this is Jami, Punah Punah. He says, my dear Arjuna, the whole material world is in a state of flux. Because I constantly destroy it and I constantly reconstruct it. You cannot go and stay anywhere peacefully. So what does that mean? Krishna keeps on repeatedly saying, and then at the same time he will say also, Natas Basiti Suryo, Nashashankavana Bhavaka Yadgatva Nivartante. He keeps on discouraging Arjuna in staying in the material world and he keeps on encouraging him about the truths about spiritual world. That means he is literally pushing Arjuna to go back to spiritual world. You can see, read the each chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's very interesting. The series of verses where Krishna is telling the problems of material world and the glory of spiritual world. You can see that. So, all material problems cannot be solved only by material solutions. It's not possible. They can only be solved by transcendental sound, by the sound vibration, which is spiritual. That's why here we find Vedavyas. He has written about all the Puranas on demigods. He has written about which demigod we should worship to get what material benefit. But then that will not satisfy the living beings. They may worship those devatas, they may get those benefits, they may enjoy for some time. But in material world, nobody can be permanently peaceful. The demigods, along with their followers, along with their boons, everything will be finished at one point of time during the cosmic cataclysm. So, the real solution lies in the spiritual sound or the in the spiritual world. Amongst all the spiritual sound vibrations which are called as the Uttama Shlok, the glorification of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavatam is the crest jewel or crown amongst all of them, all the literatures. Prabhupada says Mahabharata is better than the Vedas. Prabhupada says, why? Because in Mahabharata, see, Mahabharata is like a very great drama that Lord enacted. Lord brought, the Kauravas, Pandavas, and there is so much of politics in Mahabharata. So why the Shudras and all those people like it? He says all those people like it because they like politics very much. Like for example, if somebody tells you, a woman had 5 husbands, everyone becomes curious. Really? They never had a fight and all amongst them. Not only that, she had 5 husbands, but she was brought to the middle of a sabha and she was disrobed. Oh really? There is a rape scene also in that movie. And I want to see that also. Because many people go to movies. They want to see adult movies because when they put yay, then everyone wants to go there. A woman was brought to the court and she was disrobed. It is something hot news for everyone. So everyone wants to go. And then you say that, there were cousin brothers, Kauravas and Pandavas, your cousin brothers, and there was a problem between them, And one group of brothers drove the other one to the forest. Fight between brothers is of great interest to people. Even in street you will see, you know, if there is some fight, immediately big crowd will come, especially in India you can find. You found that? As soon as there is some small tussle between two people, what do you find immediately? Big crowd will come and everyone will be watching that, how it's happening, you know. And they'll be giving suggestions also to both the parties. And if both the people are trying to leave, you know, they will instigate them. Please fight a little more. Don't leave so easily. So people are very fond of fight. So that is why he says, you know, Dvijabandhunam, all those things are said in this. So Mahabharata is liked by people for that. So Lord enacts his wonderful drama of Mahabharata by bringing all different living beings and putting them together. And performing this great drama of Mahabharata, but within that he has kept the transcendental seed of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the middle. And Bhagavad Gita, where is it kept? It's kept in the most appropriate location. Why? They have been hearing all this political pulling, pushing, all going on, and everything came to an ultimate pinnacle. It's like the climax of the story, isn't it? Like in movies, what do we look for generally? We look for the climax, right? Climax, you find there's a stunt between the hero and the villain, you know. You know, there's the villain is kicking the hero and the hero is falling off a cliff, you know, he's holding the, you know, end of the cliff and the villain is crushing his fingers with the foot, you know, shoes and everything. So it's the climax of the movie, you know. So here the climax has come, you know, both the armies have come. Now all the people, readers of Mahabharata, are very happy. Thank you very much. Now the war is going to take place now at last, which we most wanted, you know. The Pandavas are there, Kauravas are there, everyone. Okay, did they begin the war or not? In that place, Vedavyasa has kept this Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna himself is standing in between both the armies, the father of all religious principles, and there he is giving Bhagavad Gita. So that is why Mahabharata is better than the Puranas, better than the other Vedas. Because here the Bhagavad Gita message is given. So in Bhagavad Gita also, by studying Bhagavad Gita, one can get Bhagavatam realization also. Because the pure message of Bhagavatam is hidden in the Bhagavad Gita purports. That's given by Acharyas. Acharyas say, Sarvadharman Paritya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, he says. What is this Vraja? That means you surrender to me in the Vrindavan mood, one Acharya has said. Why Krishna says Vraja? The word Vraja is there in Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, he says, Mahatmanas Mamparta Daivim Prakriti Mashita. Who is that Daivim? That is Srimati Radharani. One who surrenders Radharani is a Mahatma. So, you will see that Bhagavad Gita also has many, many pure spiritual messages which can elevate one to spiritual world. But the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is the beginning of Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna just says, surrender to me. But Bhagavatam begins with such surrender. If you don't surrender, Bhagavatam is not for you. Bhagavatam says that. Dharma prajita kaitavatra paramo nirvatsaranam satam. It is the beginning verse in Bhagavatam. And then you find Bhagavatam is like a sunlight that has arisen in the age of Kali Yuga. What is the famous verse? Kalau nashta drishamesha puranarko dhunoditaha. We are so fortunate that this Srimad Bhagavatam has come to give light in the dark age of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga living beings are the most fallen and they are getting the topmost sublime message of the scriptures, the transcendental message of the scriptures, the pure devotional service that is offered in Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam talks about the life of many, many great devotees, how they were materialistic before and later on they became spiritual, like Dhruva Maharaj, for example. It talks about different rasa devotees, different devotees in different moods. And the conclusion of Bhagavatam is, Nama Sankirtanam Jasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanas Tam Namami Harimparam. That's the last verse in Bhagavatam. It says that Nama Sankirtanam, that is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtanam Jasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. All one's papa can be eradicated simply by the recitation of the holy name. Pranamo, by offering obeisances to whom? Dukkha Shamanaha. All that is troublesome to the heart can be destroyed in totality. There are many things that are troublesome to our heart. One such thing is the hankering for something that should not be desired, which we were talking about. Envy, jealousy, pride. These are all troublesome to the heart, like thorns in the heart. They all can be destroyed. Pranamo Dukkha Shamanaha Tam Namami Harim Param. By surrendering to Lord Hari, by reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the beginning of The beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with the holy name, which is constantly chanted by the devotees of the Lord. And he talks about the glory of devotees. So, the holy name is that sound vibration by administering which the disease of material enjoyment and material hankering and all that which create trouble in our heart can be vanquished. I would like to conclude with an example. Like we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita the story of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute, which is a well-known pastime amongst the devotees. How this prostitute was determined to enjoy with Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur told her that I have vowed to chant 10 million names. I have to complete my vow, after which I will satisfy you. So she would come, offer obeisance to Tulasi and sit at the doorstep. And she would be waiting for Haridas to complete his rounds. After which she thought, Haridas Thakur will enjoy with me. But then, first day, second day, third day, Haridas Thakur evaded and went on chanting. He said, I couldn't complete my rounds. The second day, what happened when she was hearing, she also started imitating Haridas Thakur, saying, Oh my Lord Hari. She was also chanting like that, by hearing the holy name. And after 3 days of hearing the holy name, all the lusty desires she had in her heart became completely eradicated. She fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and said, with what intention she had come there. So what does this show? This shows that when the holy name enters our ears and penetrates our heart, it will cleanse our heart and can eradicate all the material desires we have. And the desires that one should not desire, they all can be eradicated by sincere, attentive, offenseless chanting of the holy name. And by such hearing of the holy name, one's material disease can be cured completely. That is why this morning I was telling also in the Mangala at the time, isn't it? That all the contradictions can be resolved only by the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And the topmost glorification is the recitation of the holy name of the Lord. That is topmost glorification of the Supreme Lord. Like glorification of the Supreme Lord means parakramata of Krishna should be discussed. Because Krishna has no parallel. There is no parallel for him. Not that somebody lifted 200 pounds, somebody lifted 250 pounds, and Krishna also was in the list of Guinness Book of World Record. He lifted some 280 pounds. No, he lifts Govardhan Hill, for whom there is no competitor. That is why in a sabha, when Lord is glorified, there is no one in the sabha who can envy the Lord, or who may want to become like the Lord, because nobody can equal him. And that is why if one recites in the scriptures where Lord performs great feats, great acts, marvelous acts, they should be glorified. And when one develops a firm attachment and attraction for the Lord by hearing those pastimes, then one should chant the holy names, remembering the Lord, remembering His greatness. Respectfully, one should take the holy name, seeking His shelter. Because Lord only can give us protection. Nobody can give protection in this world. Because everyone is a fallible soldier in this world. But Lord can give ultimate protection. By hearing the greatness of the Lord, we develop faith that He can give protection. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. Rakshashatiti Vishwaso. And by developing that faith, then we should become like innocent children with firm faith, calling out the Lord's name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by such calling out of the names, as Prabhupada says here, this satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. Such a deep sentence it is. So the holy name is beyond matter. The holy name comes from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadan, Harinam Sankirtan. So by taking that holy name, one can get the true satisfaction. Dhruva Maharaj was dissatisfied. Then he became angry with the Yakshas. His heart was constantly palpitating and he wanted to destroy the whole Yaksha race. Sometimes, any of you have felt such anger? Sometimes when you become angry on someone, we go into a zone where we want to punish the person more than what he deserves. Sometimes we want to kill them or destroy them. We feel like that when we become angry on someone. Like I saw in the train one father and son. This father got some, Limca or something, some bottle, he gave it to son and son drank a little bit and he kept it open, down. And father went to sleep. And then the father while sleeping, with his leg he hit the limca bottle and it fell down and it started pouring. And his legs became little wet and he saw, legs became wet. He became so angry, he got up and started beating his son, pat, 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 pat. is beating on the face, mouth also is beating like this, beating in all directions like this. And the son was keeping quiet for some time. And the child also knows the psychology of parents sometimes, you know. After so much of beating, then son realized that this cruel man will not leave me unless I cry. Then he started crying like anything. Wow, he started crying. Then the father said, ah, very good. Now you have cried now? It was such a scene. Myself and one of our IVA students were watching it. I thought, this fellow is beating. How he is beating like? So, Dhruva Maharaj was angry in the same way. Only one yaksha killed, you know, his brother Uttama. But then Dhruva Maharaj became so enraged with anger. He killed not one yaksha, 100,000, millions of yakshas he wanted to destroy. And all yakshas were running away. Still he followed them to Alakapuri. He said, not one yaksha was seen in the whole area, up to distance eyes can see. But Dhruva said, I am not going to leave them. I am going to find out where they are and I am going to destroy them. He was feeling such a revengeful attitude. How can such a revengeful attitude be appeased? Prabhupada says, this satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. That happened to Dhruva also. How? The sages came in the sky, Akash Marga, and they told them to chant Narayana's names. Chant the names of Lord Narayana. Because you are currently bewildered, you are in a bewildered situation. The situations of the material world are bewildering. Only by reciting the Lord's names can one be brought out of bewilderment in this world. So, whenever we are faced with anger or lust or pride or envy or illusion or revenge or anything like that, one should chant constantly. There is no better solution. Americans are thinking that, you know, we'll go to psychiatrists. In America, there is so much of psychiatrist books. Like a wife becomes angry at her husband and looks at him sharply. He thinks, what syndrome is this? You know, he thinks, maybe I have to send her to a doctor for scanning her brain. Because they have studied so many syndromes in so many books. All that knowledge doesn't help because it's all material sound vibration. Material sound vibration doesn't help. But you chant the holy names that can untie the knots which have been in our heart for millions of lifetimes. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Thank you very much.